So if you're ready to get to it, you ready to get to it? Okay. Do what musicians always do. Make some beautiful noise!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ladies, for a dollar, name three white people. Go. Three white people. You can do it.
Three famous? Or?
Yes, famous. White people. Go.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, two more.
One
more white people.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yes, one more.
And
one more white person.
Oh,
come on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
go!
When you sit down across from someone who has more families with dying little boys and girls who get a call to take them on their last fishing trip in life. Call me when you meet someone who does that more than I do.
Is it legal to be this insane?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Victor Fuentes.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
We find her if they offer up the first name.
Just like the other one.
Nice work, Lisa.
This one seems to be about to quit.
She's a bitch.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Damn you, Sharktopus.
Roll another one.
It makes you happy.
Just like the other one.
Would you do her?
This one seems to be about to end.
Like a monkey.
I don't have another cent.
Suck it, reindeer games.
I'm not Ben Affleck.
You're white, then you've been Affleck.
That's racist.
Just pass it around.
You're better than that.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're so wrong.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Listen, shut up.
Our feature presentation.
We've been trying that for about 2 years, and it does not help.
No, telling him to shut up is not. It's like telling your dog to do math.
Yeah, it really is. Really, I don't even think he understands what we're saying.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm standing right here.
Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin Abbey show. It, of course, by that song means it is Friday morning. It's the 11th of April,
and it's a big Friday too because it's Coachella weekend number one. Kevin, we played an extra song.
I know.
Heard Dave on the phone with you, giving you directions. What happened?
Well, you know what's funny out here is that they don't really remap stuff a lot. I think they take pictures and remap for your navigation in urban areas a lot more. And this is the middle of nowhere. And streets don't go all the way through. So it'll take you down the street to a dead end. And they'll go, okay, you're here. And you go, no, I'm not. So I call Dave and I go, I'm not here. And he goes, oh, go back to there, go here, make a U-turn, then go over there, then make a right, then drive through a field of hay, and then you'll see a guy there, and he'll give you the next clue. It's
and then you ride
crazy.
A camel.
Right. It's just crazy. But I ended up being here, and I was sitting out in front the whole time, didn't know it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So good times.
How's the house? I mean, you probably haven't had a chance to see much of it, but
awesome.
It's pretty nice, right?
Yeah, very nice.
We were talking about this yesterday off the air. I can't imagine ever making a decision as bad as renting a house to K-Rock.
Well, if you owned it, there's some cause for concern. No question about that. But, well, and the truth is we've never been invited back anywhere.
That's true.
We have to go to a new place every time.
We're one and done. We're like the guy that can't get a second date.
Yep. Every year we have to find a new location because we burned whatever bridge and whatever couch.
They had to burn the place down. What are you kidding?
Pretty much. Hey, I got a quick story to get us going here before we talk about today's excellent all-new Kevin and Bean show. I think you'll especially like this one, Kevin.
Right.
We go to Oregon this time. There's a guy who was given a ticket, a $260 ticket. He is a trucker who was hauling a truckload of logs in southern Oregon, and he got a ticket for flashing his headlights to warn an oncoming UPS truck that there was a speed trap.
I thought that was legal.
He thought it was legal, too. In fact, he decided to fight the ticket. And Judge Joseph Carter determined that the law covering the use of high beams, you can't give somebody a ticket for flashing the lights because it is unconstitutional because it is an expression of free speech.
Are you kidding me?
Now, apparently, you can give someone a ticket for driving with their high beams on if they endanger other drivers. If you've just got your high beams on and they're not supposed to be on, you can give somebody a ticket for that. Just like you could give somebody a ticket for, you know, not using a signal or something like that because it's unsafe to, you know, to drive into oncoming traffic with those lights. But if you're doing it to warn another driver, it is apparently freedom of expression. It's a violation of free speech. And that's what the judge ruled. By the way, this young man who took it to court, Chris Hill is his name, he defended himself and he did the research and he was ready when he walked in. He even pointed to a federal judge in the Midwest who barred police from handing out tickets to drivers who flashed their lights too. And he said, hey, not only is there precedence, but there's nothing in here that says you're not allowed to do that in the Oregon Highway Code.
How about that?
So that is that's good news to know because I always thought that was kind of a dick move to give somebody a ticket for something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean – I mean, I can understand it frustrates the police, but move. Yeah.
But if
you have to sit there all day.
If the point of the police officer being out there is to get traffic to go slowly, I'm just helping you out.
I see where you're going here. You're helping the police.
You're helping the police out. You are getting other drivers to slow down, right?
I love how you're able to twist stories. That's beautiful.
I mean, what I'm saying is mission accomplished if the guy's trying to get traffic to go slower.
Right, but if that's his goal, what his goal normally is to write tickets.
Yes, that's actually the other side of the story, which is, and that's also something that he said, is that the guy was out there just trying to make more money for the city, by the way.
Sure.
Just for interest's sake, I think it's interesting that this is mentioned in the article as well, that there was the ACLU, also in Oregon a few years ago, got a traffic law prohibiting horn honking for non-traffic purposes. Got that made legal because there were people who were getting tickets for that. People who honked their horns.
Who were they honking at?
They were honking
on the street
in support of U.S. troops. You know, when you honk horns after your team wins a big game and you're pulling out of the parking lot and you're honking your horns, people have gotten tickets for that before for using a horn for non-traffic purposes.
Wow.
But apparently that is also legal. So just go crazy out there. Just seriously, just have your headlights on and just hang your head out the window and just flash your lights and just do anything you feel like. Get your freak flag on because apparently everything goes in this country.
Ghost ride the whip. I think that's cool.
Whatever you want to do. So there you go. A happy ending on today's opening story.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and B show, shall we?
Big head.
Nick Frost.
Yeah.
Speaking
Frost
of big heads. Nick Frost is going to be on the show today. He has a movie called Cuban Fury. And it looks absurd and awesome.
Lisa, you're going to love this movie so much.
Really?
Nick Frost tries to win Rashida Jones by learning to salsa dance to get her away from Chris O'Dowd.
I am going to love this movie.
And you know what Nick Frost looks like.
Yes.
He's a little stout.
He's a big man.
Portly.
Yeah. Portly, yeah. So it looks like a very
big
funny movie.
Big man's got skills, though.
I bet
we are also going to talk to Tony Hale from one of the stars of Veep, which we love so much.
I love him so much.
That show is great. He's great on it. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have MTV Movie Award tickets. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have Jason Lipschutz. I'm pretty sure that's his name, Jason Lipschutz.
I'd be very careful the way you say that.
I'm trying.
Seems to be how it's spelled.
He's a Billboard assistant editor, and he's written an article on 15 acts that you may not be aware of that you should check out if you're coming to Coachella.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, Chapter 14, Temperature. During the day, temperatures at Coachella can reach those similar to that of the surface of the sun. You'll be tempted to strip off all of your clothing, and even then, may consider finding a way to remove your skin. The very last thing you'll be thinking about is a jacket. However, once the sun goes down, evening temperatures can plummet to anywhere from freezing to the approximate temperature of liquid nitrogen. So bring a jacket or a sweatshirt, or your friends may find you later as a blue-lipped corpse in the parking lot. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
That's good advice, I think.
That's a good slogan, I think.
How? What's the temperature out there right now, Kevin, in the desert?
It could not be more perfect. It's not as cold as that was leading you to believe, but boy, oh boy, is it hot during the day.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, so if you could keep it right where it's at right now, you'd probably be fine. Yeah.
It's like perfect and, I don't know, 65?
Wow, nice.
It's crazy.
Well, don't get used to it. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Friday. Kevin is broadcasting from, what's the official name? We were scolded yesterday. How are we supposed to say this?
The K-Rock Party House at Coachella.
All right, that's where he's going to be today and hopefully Monday if he survives. In the meantime, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. I can't imagine a worse choice to have a baby with than Joe Francis of Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, that's a bad choice.
He's triple bag it.
He's just a tool, right, that guy?
Yes.
Well, his girlfriend is pregnant with twins. She is Abby Wilson. She is 26. Joe Francis is 40, by the way. And they did IVF to get pregnant.
Oh, good Lord.
And I just, like, what are the chances that he's going to stick around with that nonsense? What?
There's no guessing at that. He's not going to stick around for that nonsense.
And because he's having daughters, he's probably never going to let them put shirts on, I would imagine, right?
Well, yeah. I don't know about that.
I mean, how quickly can he get them on film? Every single thing about the story about him having kids is just so icky to me.
Yeah, I think you're right the first time. They'll never even know who he is.
Yeah, so he'll be long gone by the time she pops because he'll have moved on just because she's pregnant.
Exactly.
So, good times.
Kim Kardashian apparently did make the cover of Vogue. You guys saw that?
I'm sorry,
yes.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Thank you.
But apparently Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have said, no way. No way.
What do you mean, no way?
No way what?
No way could she visit the White House.
She wanted to?
As an official guest or whatever. Of course she wanted to.
I mean, there was a request?
She wanted to rule, I'm guessing. Probably all came from Kanye.
Did someone ask the president whether Kim Kardashian could come to the White House?
I believe so. And I'm telling you that they said, you know what? No.
Don't you love that?
I do. Except for I hope they don't give in like Vogue did.
Well, the president, I mean, he's even said he doesn't let his girls watch reality TV like the Kardashians.
Right.
I mean, he has specifically pointed them out as not being something he's interested in having in his home. So that's just gotta really tick off Kanye West.
Yeah,
Kanye West has got to be like, hey, I'm a brother. You're a brother. Come on.
Right. He can't pull that out.
Yeah, right, because it's not about brothers. It's about him being a dumbass. Radar Online is the one that's reporting this, but the president and his wife said, you know what? No, thank you.
Kim Kardashian is totally invited to my house, by the way. Got no problems with that.
You got nothing going on there either, so she's probably not going to want to visit.
Probably not so, yeah. But I can lock the base, but I can take care of that. Mm. Hey, speaking of politics, I don't know what's going on with Hillary Clinton, former senator, former first lady, former secretary of state. Is she running for president or not?
Well,
she's hinting now. She is starting to hint. She says she's thinking about it.
Yeah.
She was giving a speech yesterday, Kevin, in Mandalay Bay, the Mandalay Bay for the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's always a big one.
What? How is that how you're spending your day? Like, under what circumstances would you be giving a speech at the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries? How can that be something? She doesn't have to do that. She doesn't have a job. Why would she be doing that?
She believes in green.
I don't know.
Right?
Even if you believe in green, isn't that at the bottom of your list?
I would think so. Well, the reason it's in the news has nothing to do with politics, unless that was the reason why somebody in the crowd decided to throw a shoe at Mrs. Clinton.
Uh-oh.
And she dodged it. And, I've got the audio of the shoe being thrown at her. At first, she thought it was a bat that flew by.
Oh, God.
And then she realized somebody had thrown a shoe at her. And remember, the same thing happened to President George Bush when he got the two shoes thrown at him.
Oh, right.
But,
That's how he got the nickname Two Shoes.
this is what happened to Mrs. Clinton yesterday.
And develop systems to convert waste into new products or into sources of energy. For example, we are working with the city of Delhi in India to develop that country's first integrated solid waste management system.
All right, here it comes.
It's already recycling about 2%.
So she ducks.
What was that, a bat?
Is that a bat?
Is that a bat? Then she's got the line.
That's somebody throwing something at me? Is that part of Cirque du Soleil?
That's not a bad line, by the way, for a non-professional.
Not bad, right.
Part of Cirque du Soleil. She's in Las Vegas. But she continued on with her speech. The woman was arrested. No word yet on what her motive was, but it was noted that she had brought an extra shoe to the speech. She was arrested wearing two shoes.
Oh, so she was all ready.
So she was planted. This was not an accident. This was not just a spur of the moment because she was upset with how Mrs. Clinton was talking about recycling garbage.
Right.
She went there with the intention of throwing it at somebody.
She just hated her in general, probably.
I guess so. But isn't that just everything about that story is just weird?
It is, including her response, which seems like it's a pretty good move to duck. I mean, I know it's your initial reaction, but she doesn't exactly strike me as somebody who's had any training.
Right, right, exactly.
So, had she caught it and thrown it back and hit the person in the head, I'm voting for her.
That would have been a baller move.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, a couple of great singers celebrating today. Remember Joss Stone, little 27-year-old today, Joss Stone? She became famous, I think she was like 15 or 16 when she broke onto the scenes, and she was kind of like a lord a little bit, remember? Mm-hmm. She was just young and fresh and was doing music unlike anybody else.
And by the way, super hot.
Super hot, yeah. Still,
Not that matters. But still, it matters.
She was. Still making music, by the way. Still very talented. You just don't hear much on the radio anymore. Lisa Stansfield also celebrates her birthday today. She's 48. She's the one who did that, "Been around the world, da-da-da-da-da." Remember that one?
I'm not sure. Sing some more.
I don't believe my version.
But I'm not positive I understand it. I was close.
To life. And great Peter Reiger. What a terrific actor. Everything from way back in the day with Animal House up until the Seth MacFarlane series, Dads. He stars on that right now, too. And that's your Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning on K-Rock. This Sunday at the Nokia Theater is the MTV Movie Awards. If you'd like to be there in person to see Conan O'Brien hosting and see all the stars, you could be in the same room as Megan Fox, by the way, if you go to the
All right.
Scene, right?
Okay.
Give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. I'll give you a hint. It's going to be, if you're a big movie fan and have been for a while, this would be a good game for you to win. We're looking for big movie fans to call us right now. 1-800-520-1067. You can win in minutes. Speaking of movie fans, Kevin. Every week, Ralph is out today. He called in sick. But every week when Ralph is doing the movie beat, when he's talking about movies, and sometimes you and I have never heard of the movies, right? They're the most obscure, like, black and white movie in Polish from the 40s that's being re-released. Ralph will bring it and talk about it,
right? Yeah, he'll say words that we don't even recognize.
Right. Every single one of those movies, I get an instant message on my computer from Casey, the girl who works here at the Kevin and Bean Show with a finger on the button, who says, seen it, wrote it, in it. I mean, whatever the movie is, Casey is all over it. So we thought, hey, Ralph's not here today. We still got to do the movie beat, find out what's in theaters this weekend. Let's invite Casey in to talk about some of these films that we're going to be discussing. Hi, Casey.
Hello. How are you guys?
Try not to swear because we don't have the chick back there with her finger on the button, okay?
I know, and I'm being told that I would have to trust Beer Mug, which is
that's terrifying.
Yeah. None of us want that.
How do you have a job or two, because I know you do other stuff too, yet still have time to see all of these movies?
Well, right now my job, besides K-Rock, is working a film festival. I'm working at the Indian Film Festival, which is going on at the Arclight this week. So I'm, you know, still being able to see movies.
The Indian Film Festival is how she's spending her weekend, Kevin. All right, let's talk about some of the new movies, and there are a ton of them in theaters this weekend. The first one is called The Railway Man, which I know my wife is very excited about because it's a return of Colin Firth, who all chicks dig. What do you know about it?
Yeah, this wasn't really on my radar, and so I was watching the trailer going, we have two Oscar winners in it, and we haven't really heard much. It's Colin Firth and Nicole Kidman, and I guess he was a British Army officer who was in a prisoner of war in Japan and all the things that he had to go through. And so it's him later in life going back and kind of confronting the man in charge of his treatment.
Is it a true story?
Yeah, it's based on a true story.
It does look pretty good.
It looks all right. Yeah, I was expecting it to kind of, you know, because it has no buzz, be kind of crappy. But
Nicole Kidman has made a lot of poor choices in films lately,
including her plastic surgery.
And some say this might be a little bit of a return to form for her. Here's a clip from a movie called The Railway Man.
He's alive, and I know where he is.
I'm afraid the museum is closed.
I'm surprised you don't recognize me.
So, Max,
I am asking the questions. You answer.
I did not expect you to be alive.
What happened in that room? What did they do to you?
Too much whispering for me. I'm sorry.
Speak up.
Up next is Joe. Now, for a Nicolas Cage movie, why am I not hearing more about this?
See, I heard a lot about it, but that's also because I know all the festival circuit stuff, and it's played a couple of big festivals. The director is David Gordon Green, who did Pineapple Express, Your Highness, The Sitter, but then also did a little indie film called Prince Avalanche, which played Sundance like the previous year or whatever. So it's kind of a more indie side of a guy who's done bigger films as of recently. But then with Nicolas Cage movies, they're always kind of hit or miss. They're either so bad they're awesome or they're just terrible.
Yeah, it's a poison.
So, I mean, I was looking it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I haven't had a chance to see this one yet. It has 80%, which is super promising. And the clip looks good.
They used some real people, not actors. In fact, one of the main guys, I heard Nicolas Cage being interviewed the other day, one of the main guys they used to play a homeless guy was actually a homeless guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? He got a job out of it.
He
nice
did,
job.
But then he died.
Hey, spoiler alert.
No,
that's
for real.
A great story.
For real. He died recently, like a year later. It was really
Let's
sad.
Hear a little bit from the trailer of Joe.
Why do you stick around like this?
What's most important right now is me taking care of Dorothy and Mama. Kind of got a family problem right now.
What happened?
He's all beat up.
I can't get my hands dirty in every little thing. You know how I get.
You think Joe's your daddy?
I'm the one taking care of you.
What have you done, Joe?
By the way, Nicolas Cage doing a movie where he's not making $20 million a year. You don't see too many of those either. All right, now we get into some of the big ones from the weekend that we're very excited about, especially this first one. We'll talk to Nick Frost later on the program today. This is the salsa movie called Cuban Fury. Go, Casey.
I hear the title Cuban Fury, and I keep thinking Balls of Fury. So in my head, I'm thinking, like, you know, stupid, cheesy comedy, whatever. But it's Nick Frost, and it's Rashida Jones and Chris O'Dowd, who is one of the most charming men in Hollywood right now. But it's about a guy who is overweight, underconfident, and is going to be a salsa king after, I guess, Rashida Jones' character kind of inspires him and it reignites his love for salsa dancing.
This looks hilarious. Here's the trailer of Cuban Fury.
She is beautiful. Ooh. Way out of my league.
She's like a 10, I'm a 2. It's like a butterfly going out with a parsnip.
All girls love a man who can dance. Salsa your way in.
My name is Bijan, nice to meet you.
I'm Bruce.
Bijan means hero.
What does Bruce mean?
Bush or hedge.
You need to dance, Bruce. Gotta reach out and grab it.
Your wrists are limp.
Oh, your d*** is limp.
I have got something that you don't have. Do you know what that is?
Type 2 diabetes.
And by the way, the actor that we're talking about here, Nick Frost, he's the big guy from all of the Simon Pegg movies, for folks who don't recognize the name, and he is hilarious. He's the funniest of all of those guys.
I think I would see anything that he or Chris O'Dowd, either one of them, I would see anything they were in. So
let's not call it the salsa movie, though, because that turns me off. I would never go see that, but you watch the trailer and you go, I am in.
It looks hilarious. The voices of Jesse Eisenberg, Anne Hathaway, Jermaine Clement, Andy Garcia, and more in Rio 2. Now, this is a sequel to a movie I guess was about birds or something in Brazil. It was a huge, huge animated hit, and they're back with a new one. What do we know?
Because which animated hit doesn't have 50 sequels, you know, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's birds, and that's kind of all I know. It's not really my cup of tea, but, I mean, it's got a huge cast of, you know, voice actors, like, well, actors who are doing, you know, voice work. But yeah, I'm sure if somebody has kids that wants to go see a movie this weekend and doesn't want to see, you know,
Frozen again
on DVD at their house for the 50th time, then this is probably what they're going to go see, Rio 2.
When you're a parent,
you take a kid, you really do look for movies that you can stand.
That aren't going to suck for you, yeah.
Yeah, this might not be bad.
I've been going about this all wrong. I need to search from higher ground.
Higher! Higher! Even higher. Little bit higher. Lower now.
Yes. Perfect.
Ugh.
It's an infestation.
Keep celebrating.
I'll be pooping on your party promptly.
Was that a sex scene?
I hope not. Gosh, I hope not. Two big new movies left on this week's Movie Beat here on the Kevin Amin Show. The great director Ivan Reitman is back with a film called Draft Day. Chadwick Boseman, who we loved in 42, is Jackie Robinson, Jennifer Garner, Frank Langella. Great cast. Oh, yes, and starring Kevin Costner, who, by the way, I understand, Casey, this is a return to form for him.
Yeah, I actually did see this one already, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's getting kind of like, you know, 50-50 reviews type of a thing, but I was actually not expecting great from Kevin Costner, and he's great in it. Jennifer Garner's great in it. And it's kind of a, you know, compelling story, you know, not kind of like edge of your seat type thriller, but, you know, we kind of got a look into, you know, baseball inside with Moneyball, and this is kind of a little bit on the NFL and draft side of that. But, I mean, he's great in it. He's been a little, you know, weird in person as a human being lately, but on screen he's totally watchable, and I found it to be an enjoyable film. So
what about for people who may like Kevin Costner but really don't care about football? Is it the kind of thing you like even if you don't care about the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I watch football just kind of here and there. I'm more of a, you know, hockey person, but go Kings go. But no, I mean, the whole football inner workings of everything, I think it's totally fine for people who don't like or follow football because it's not so much about the sport itself.
Great. Here's a clip from Draft Day.
Did you just trash my office?
Yeah, I'm upset.
Well, I don't care if you're upset. If you're upset, call your agent. All right, let him have this conversation. That's what he's there for.
No, Sonny, you're going to talk to man. You owe me that.
I owe you? I drafted you.
Your dad drafted me.
No, Drew, I drafted you because I believed in you.
Then why pick Callahan?
You know why.
Then trade me.
I'm going to do what's best for the team.
The best thing for this team this season is me.
And by the way, let's remember that Kevin Costner is the king of the sports movies. He's made like 5 bona fide classic sports movies, so this is an area he knows. And finally, and Kevin, I know this is the one you're excited about.
Yep.
Oculus comes out today. What do you know?
As like a horror film for fanboys, because it has Karen Gillan from Doctor Who, and then also Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it's actually getting pretty good reviews, and it looks kind of creepy and terrifying. So, you know, if that's what you're looking for this weekend, I would totally recommend that, because it actually, I'm not a huge horror fan, but that totally even sparks my interest. So, I may go check it out.
Yeah, there's something bad going on in the mirror. Here's a little bit of Oculus.
My name is Kayleanne Russell. The purpose of today's experiment is to prove that the object behind me is responsible for at least 45 deaths in the 4 centuries of its recorded existence.
We were just kids. We made up a scary story so we wouldn't have to accept the fact that our father was a sick man who killed our...
Mom? I intend to prove that the people I've just described were victims of the supernatural force that resides in that mirror.
I've seen the devil. He hears me.
A lot of choices playing all over Southern California. That is the Movie Beat. Thanks, Casey.
You're very welcome.
Kevin is at the K-Rock Party House at Coachella. The station will be out there broadcasting live all weekend long with lots of special guests stopping by for interviews and performances. You can see it all or hear it all at krock.com. Get all the details right there. Nick Frost on the program next hour. Also, Tony Hale. Right now, we want to give away some tickets for the MTV Movie Awards. They're happening this Sunday at the Nokia Theater. They are going to be live on MTV. And we're doing it with a game we call the MTV Tube of History.
Kind of weird tube of history are you walking through?
I'm walking through a tube of history.
MTV's tube of, MTV's tube of, MTV's tube of history, MTV's tube of history, MTV's tube of history now.
Kevin, you invented the tube of history. How does it work exactly? How are we able to go back in time and remember past MTV Movie Award winners?
Well, not that I can remember, but we have looked them up. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to describe for you the movies that won Movie of the Year. Uh-huh. For the past, I don't know how far we're going back. 10 years, Bean? 15 years?
Yeah. Any movie is fair game since the Movie Awards began back in 1992. Okay. But these are all going to be big popular movies that won the Best Movie of the Year of the MTV Movie Awards. We'll describe it for you. All you have to do is tell us what the title of that film is, and you win tickets to be there in person this Sunday. So we'll just take them in order, starting with line one. Give me Mike, please. Would you, Beer Mug? Hey, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
Good. Good morning, guys.
All right, listen up. A listless and alienated teenager decides to help his new friend win the class presidency in their small Western high school while he must deal with his bizarre family life back home. What's the movie? I'll give you a hint. This won the MTV Movie Award Best Movie of the Year in 2005.
Can you repeat the plot one more time?
Nope. We were looking for Napoleon Dynamite, but thanks for playing. Remember, vote for Pedro. Try to win the class presidency. That was the tip, I thought, for sure. Let's go to Jason up next. He's online, too.
Hey, hello,
Jason. Hi. All right, listen up. This is the movie that won the Best Movie Award in 2000. A computer hacker learns from mysterious rebels about the true nature of his reality and his role in the war against its controllers. What's the movie?
Oh, shoot.
A computer hacker. That should be a big hint for you. 2000.
2000.
You are correct. The Matrix is what we were looking for. The name of the film was The Matrix. Perhaps you've heard of it. All right.
We're not going small here. We're talking movies of the year.
Right. These are the big ones.
All right.
All right. 0 for 2 so far. Let's see what Brian's got going on. Hey, Brian. How's it going, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How'd you do in the first two? You were listening on hold.
I got both of them easy.
Okay, yeah. Great. Well, let's see how you do. For 1999, a man gets a chance to meet up with his dream girl from high school, even though his date with her back then was a complete disaster. What's the film? Movie of the year, 1999.
Wow, that's vague.
There's something about Mary.
There's something about Mary. I didn't even know that one. Shoot.
All right, let's try, how do you pronounce this? Shanoa?
Is it? Good morning.
Shanoa. Hey, how's it going so far? Not so good for us on this end. All right,
we're actually trying to give away tickets.
Yes, right. We are. Here's your movie from 2008. An ancient struggle between two Cybertronian races, the heroic Autobots and the evil Decepticons, comes to Earth with a clue to the ultimate power held by a teenager.
I'm so nervous. Optimus Prime, I know I have a tattoo of it. I just can't. I'm so nervous I can't say the word. Oh, my God.
2008 movie of the year.
Just take a breath. Okay, what's the movie?
Optimus Prime.
Yeah, what is Optimus Prime?
Oh, man.
How about Transformers?
Transformers.
Transformers.
I was too nervous.
Oh, that.
You have a tattoo from Transformers on your body.
Why don't you just look at the tattoo?
That's unbelievable.
That is like, the best.
Like, of all the movies in the world that she could have gotten, it's the one that she has a tattoo on her body of.
Oh, that's awesome.
Brianna, you're up next to the Kevin Abid Show. Ready to win some tickets to the 2014 MTV Movie Awards?
Yep, I'm ready.
No way you can look bad after the last contestant.
Right.
I got all of them. Let's give me an easy one.
Okay. Right. Well, if you got all of them, you won't have any trouble with this one. One of the best movies of all time won the movie award in 1994. The lives of two mob hitmen, a boxer, a gangster's wife, and a pair of diner bandits intertwine in four tales of violence and redemption. 1994. What's that film?
Oh, would that be L.A. Confidential?
No!
I don't know.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, let's
try. How many tickets have we given away, B?
So far, counting all of them?
Yeah.
With all
put
none.
Together?
So far, none.
Zero.
I'm feeling good about Richard, though. He's up next here on the Kevin Abid Show. By the way, we should have invited Casey in from the last segment to do this game. She would have been great. All right, Casey, you ready to play?
No, Richard.
Richard, I'm sorry. Richard, you ready to play?
Kevin Abid.
Let's give Richard all the tickets if he wins, okay? Let's just give him all three pairs. Right. He can go with five friends if he wants. All right, here we go. 1997, a killer known as Ghostface begins killing off teenagers, and as the body count begins rising, one girl and her friends find themselves contemplating the rules of horror films as they find themselves living in a real-life one. 1997, what was that movie called?
Oh, man. I know what you did last summer. Or Scream.
It's Scream.
By the way, he said or Scream.
Or
he did say or
after
Scream.
After the buzzer, yeah. Before all right, one more contestant is going to be Brad.
Beat the buzzer.
No, unfortunately.
Okay, Brad.
Hey, Brad, you're our last hope, my friend. You ready to go?
I am.
All right.
Please get it.
I'll give you the easiest one I got. In 2001, the movie of the year was this description. When a Roman general is betrayed and his family murdered by an emperor's corrupt son, he comes to Rome as a gladiator to seek revenge. The movie is called, what? Say it again?
The Gladiator.
Yes!
Oh my God.
We got a winner! Yeah! You got all the tickets. You and a million friends are going to enjoy the MTV Movie Awards this Sunday at the Nokia Theater. Thanks for playing the MTV Tube of History.
MTV's Tube of History. MTV's Tube of History.
Black Keys on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin Abid Show. We are broadcasting live from the K-Rock Party House at Coachella, where we will be all weekend long.
Is it 100 degrees yet?
It is not. It's not absolutely beautiful right now.
The great Nick Frost joins us coming up.
Okay, now it's 100.
Nick Frost joins us next, coming up from, you know, Shaun of the Dead and This is the End and Hot Fuzz and all those great movies. Got a new one out called Cuban Fury that looks awesome. In the meantime, though, in for Ralph Garman, we're taking a look at the show Biz Beat. What's going on, Kevin?
Does this scare anyone else but me? Amber Heard keeps Johnny Depp on the straight and narrow. Now, you know they're a couple, right?
Yes.
Of course. Engaged, even, I think.
Friends tell Radar Online that he was the life of the party just a few months before.
Mm-hmm.
And then he met her, and word is that she's put him on the straight and narrow and that he's not going to be a wild man anymore.
Well,
does that scare anyone?
It depends on how truthful that report is or how much of the read is true. If he's being held captive at home against his will, that's a recipe for disaster. If he's finally met the right woman and doesn't want to do anything other than settle down and be with her, that's a different story.
I guess, but it just seems like, how old is he?
He's in his 50s.
Oh, he's in his 50s? Yeah. That's not right.
Johnny Depp, yeah.
What?
Isn't he, Lisa? Yes. Does that sound right?
Yes, absolutely.
What kind of fountain of youth is he drinking out of that a-hole?
He should stay home.
But here's the point. You're 50. You're pretty much, you're that guy, I think.
Right.
It seems a little scary that Amber thinks that he's just going to change who he is.
No, right. I look at it as you're 50, you're a little tired of being that guy.
That's very possible. And then you get rest, and then you want to be that guy.
And then you get back up and go back
Kevin,
out again.
Not everyone is you.
Look, I'm not wishing them ill will. I'm just saying that's a little scary.
I think friends say that because they're upset because he wants to stay home. And they want him to come out.
By the way, Amber Heard gives you a lot of good incentives to stay
home,
too, by the way.
Agreed.
But if you're Johnny Depp, there are a lot of good incentives to go out as well. So, I don't know.
There are all the other Amber Heards in the world.
That's why you can't go out.
Maybe that's true. Speaking of relationships in trouble, Ralph reported yesterday that the beautiful Naya Rivera, who we love so much from Glee, had broken off her engagement with singer Big Sean. Now, TMZ.com is reporting that they called off their wedding and that the decision was made because Naya Rivera is way too controlling, that he was all the time being asked, hey, where are you? Who are you with? When are you coming back? And according to this report on TMZ, Naya said to Big Sean, if you don't listen to what I say, I'll ruin your career.
What?
TMZ says they're told that she was suspicious whenever Sean was with other women. She would work herself up into jealous rages. Once broke an expensive lamp during a rampage in their home. They went to couples counseling, and apparently Big Sean realized he hated being in a couple with her and decided to get the hell out. So the wedding is off. They are broken up. And if the reports are to be true, Naya Rivera may be a lot of work. I'm very upset with, because in my eyes, she's perfect.
Just like the last story with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, if you need to change that guy too much, maybe that's not the guy for
Perhaps
you.
Perhaps you're not a good fit. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at my computer. I apologize.
Sound like you had something to say there.
Let's talk
about something that Lisa May brought up off the air yesterday that we didn't get a chance to talk about. And that is Hollywood legend Mickey Rooney, who just passed away this week at 93 years old. Now, this is a guy, as we talked about earlier in the week, who had a show business career that spanned 80 years.
Yeah.
He started out in silent movies. He did vaudeville. He did radio. He did nominated for Academy Award on the big screen. He was a television star. This guy made a lot of money in his life. Yet when he died, he left an estate worth $18,000.
That's why he was still working.
When I first heard that number, I thought, that's clearly a mistake. Somebody's going to change that to $18 million.
$18 million, right, which is about what you'd expect for Mickey Rooney, right?
Yeah, I guess. But even how long? 80 years in showbiz?
Yes, that's right.
$18 million would be a little low, I would think.
Now, he did, though, get married how many times? Six, seven, eight times, something like that? He was one of those guys. So I'm sure there's a lot of alimony. I'm sure he had a lot of money going out every month. But he lived so long, he must have outlived most of those wives. Most of those wives must be dead by now.
Oh, yeah.
So he wasn't paying those.
That doesn't mean they drained him along the way. They didn't drain him along the way, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
As far as money. I'm talking about money.
We understand. Yeah. I will tell you, there is something to be said, though, for just running out of money right as you run out of life. I mean, why leave anything behind?
Well,
why not just get every last penny's worth out of your life?
Agreed, but do you have a kid?
His kids are probably 70.
Step kids, I think.
That's true. His kids are 70. I didn't think about that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. So maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that's just burn through all of it. Who cares what you're leaving behind? Just live, Mickey Rooney. But it was still a surprise because you just see a guy like that who's Hollywood royalty and you just assume he's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, no kidding.
Today's celebrity birthdays. How about the beautiful actress Trisha Helfer celebrating her 40th today? Also, the only band that matters, Marcy Playground, has got a birthday today. Bassist Dylan Keefe is celebrating. Peter Reigert from The Dad's TV show and Animal House. A lot of great movies and TV shows over the years. 67 years old today. Singer Joss Stone turns 27. Alessandra Ambrosio turning 33 years old today.
That's a good looking 33.
What time are you guys meeting up with her for Coachella today?
Probably around 8-ish, 8 p.m.-ish.
Oh, okay.
She's not aware of that yet. She hasn't returned my text, but I'm sure that will happen.
She's there every year, too.
She is every year.
I mean, yeah. She is definitely one of the things you most look forward to seeing at Coachella every year.
And some part of me is drawn right to her wherever she is. I don't know how that works.
Well, happy birthday, Alessandra.
Yes,
please come.
Dave.
Please.
Yes, that's what I'm... Dave's pointing to his penis. Like, that needs some kind of further clarification.
Please come by the K-Rock Party House. We've got a cake for you. That's the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
That's the voice of Kevin, by the way, at the K-Rock Party House at Coachella. He's broadcasting there today and then again on Monday. And the station is going to be broadcasting from there all weekend long with lots of drive-by and drop-by interviews and performances. It's going to be a great weekend for weekend number one of Coachella.
Drive-by interviews?
It's possible.
So they'll just slow down, and then we have to run beside the car and ask them questions?
You have to yell out questions as they go down the street in front of the house, Kevin. Yes.
Why is that happening?
Come on. You know how it works.
All right.
How about the great actor Tony Hale join us later this hour from the TV show Veep and a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Speaking of great actors, speaking of one of our favorite people in the whole wide world, Nick Frost is on the phone, star of Cuban Fury in theaters today. We were just talking about it last hour. Hi, Nick. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, that's me.
It is you. You're that guy. We're doing great, man. I want to get the business out of the way here first because you are hosting a screening of your new film called Cuban Fury. That is going to be tonight. You will be in attendance at the Arclight in Hollywood, showing the movie and answering questions. Now, you're doing that tonight and tomorrow night. Is that right, Nick?
Yeah, that's right. Let me just say, don't be put off by the name. It's not about the missile crisis.
No, I'm sure a lot of people were concerned about that. Kevin was saying last hour that he is automatically scared off by any movie that centers on dancing. Why?
No,
you too, huh?
Not dancing. Like, I like the step-up movies because that's pretty much the story of my life. You know, dance or die. But
sure.
When you start talking about ballroom dancing, I'm out. But this is so not about that.
No, not at all. It's just a small part of the film as a whole. And it's about a young man who was an amazing dancer and he gets bullied and decides never to dance again. Then he meets this beautiful woman and he decides to dust off his shoes and try and win her through the power of dance.
I got to say, if I were writing a movie, I would also include Rashida Jones in my thoughts. That is a great goddamn choice, Nick.
She is fantastic.
She's unbelievable.
She's not only attractive, but she's also very funny. She's got a great sense of humor. She can play that.
She's
that
funny.
Role.
She's smart. She's pretty. It's a triple threat.
Yeah. Now, you wrote this movie, so you knew you'd have to do all this dancing. Was this because you already could dance, or did you now then have to force yourself to learn?
No, not really. I mean, I was a dancer. I like dancing, but, I couldn't dance. I was, I'm a house music fan, so it's just a lot of fist pumping and shuffling around, looking ecstatic. The whole point was that I danced, I wanted to test myself slightly, and I trained 7 hours a day, 6 days a week for 7 months to become a dancer.
Oh, what? My gosh. How come you didn't lose any weight?
Well, it wasn't about that. The whole point was the geezer's a lump.
7 months of salsa dancing. I'm asking you a question. Is that possible?
It sounded like a statement.
It did, I know.
Mark at the
That's
end.
Why I decided to, clarify. Is that how do you not go at 4 months go, all right, I pretty much got it down, it's just a movie.
It's just that was the period, we had to do it for that long and I had to be able to do everything in the film,
Yeah. I read somewhere, Nick, and some of your press have done this, that you and I have something in common in that we both dreaded the first dance at our wedding. Now, my
Terrible.
Solution was to pick the the shortest possible song. I think my first dance song was a minute 45. I think that was the song.
Wow.
I just looked for the shortest romantic song I could find. How did you handle it? What was so traumatic about that day for you, Nick?
Well, the same thing. I mean, where is it? I mean, how come we've got to that point in our society where we have to dance in front of our family and friends? It's bonkers.
So you just try to survive it and just want it to be over as quickly as possible. It's the exact opposite of what that is supposed to be, which is a very meaningful, beautiful, you know, coming together of the two newlyweds.
I mean, our dance was the birdie song, so that made it even worse.
We're talking to Nick Frost on the show about his new film called Cuban Fury. I already talked about Rashida Jones. How about Chris O'Dowd, who's another guy that we will go see anything that he's in? Were you already friends with him before, Nick?
Yeah, I'd known Chris for about 8 years. I mean, we did a film together called Pirate Radio. And
all
so,
right.
You know, we kind of really liked each other and have become firm friends.
He's hilarious. And Olivia Colman, who I love so much on the Broadchurch, she was so great.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
It really is. Let me ask you this question. You've been in Hot Fuzz. You've been in so many different movies that we love, The World's End and a bunch of different ones. But is this your first starring role where you're the man?
It is, yeah. In cinema, it is, yeah. But I've done quite a lot on British TV. But, yeah, in the films, it is.
Do you feel any extra pressure for that or no?
No, not really. I mean, it never, you know, when me and Simon and Edgar do stuff too, it feels like the three of us are creating something. So we don't really have that, that way on set. It's just, you just get on with it, you know.
Right.
Nick Frost on the phone here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Cuban Fury is the movie. It opens up today, and it looks so great. It's in select theaters today, opening wider, or even more theaters next Friday. You can meet Nick tonight at the screening at the Arclight Cinema at 8 o'clock. He'll be showing the movie and answering questions. That'll be tonight and tomorrow night. What is the thing that most people want to know, Nick, that we have not asked you yet today?
Whether or not I'm dressed.
You mean right now?
Right now.
I'd like to keep that unasked.
I'd like to know.
All right. Lisa wants to know.
Go ahead.
I'm sitting on the toilet.
Oh.
Nick.
That in mind, guys, when you're finishing your omelets.
Yeah.
That is an image I will unfortunately never get out of my mind.
Who's hungry?
Who's hungry indeed. We love you, brother. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Congratulations on the movie. It looks great. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me back.
9 o'clock this morning and 5 o'clock this afternoon, the final pairs of tickets for Coachella. You can win them here on K-Rock. So now that's kind of to the wire, right? That's getting as close as you can before the actual festival.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. We'll talk to the great Tony Hale from Veep and Arrested Development coming up in a few minutes. First, though, how to brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet.
Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico, who's in charge of the Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup. How are you, my friend?
What up?
A lot of Game of Thrones this week with the return of the show on HBO. We start with Kevin. This is going to haunt your nightmares. This is going to be your least favorite thing you've ever heard
He's
in your life.
Love it. Does it involve a cat?
It involves the Game of Thrones opening song sung by a cat. Please enjoy. How does this happen?
How is that a thing?
Video.
That's not a thing. You are going to keep singing this all day long now. You're going to be, you know, in the middle of a band and you're going to hear, meow, 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 meow.
I feel like we need to have Dave run these by us beforehand so that we know that he's not putting in any of his stupid cat videos.
All right. What if I were to tell you that the next video is not Game of Thrones sung by a cat?
Okay.
It's a supercut of Game of Goats. Please enjoy it.
Okay, goats work. Goats are good.
Dave, who does the gay TV recaps? We feature them from time to time on the Roundup.
Funny or Die, they have a actual hairstylist in Beverly Hills who does the Gay of Thrones.
Okay, well, this one is Gay of Thrones, and this is a recap of episode one.
So finally, Christina Aguilera and I are reunited, and she's trying to have like a motherly moment with her dragons. She totally reaches her hand in there, and her baby dragon turns around and shanks her hand off. Kind of like the time I tried to give my dog a hug when she had her head in the trash can, and she totally turned around and bit me in the face.
I love how he doesn't know who any of the characters are. He just calls them by whatever celebrity they most resemble. So it's like Christina Aguilera, young Barack Obama. He just doesn't know who anybody is. All right, here's a story that we got a lot of joy out of. This is an anchor who happened to be on the Fox News channel on Fox and Friends. And after the University of Connecticut Huskies won the NCAA tournament, well, that's not how it came out of her mouth.
Well, the UConn Huskies are the 2014 NAACP national champs.
Well, in her defense, there were a lot of black guys on the team, but that's not actually what they're called. It's actually the
NCAA.
Very funny.
One of the funniest things ever.
She, by the way, was interviewed afterwards. She said, it was just an honest mistake. I had a lot of things going on the screen at the same time. I'm a big basketball fan. I was just one of those slips. Look, I believe her. We've made, we've made slips just like that in the past. Here's the video everybody was talking about this week. A woman topless, just wearing just a tiny little pair of panties, goes into a McDonald's and just trashes the place. She's throwing stuff, knocking registers off the counter and opening up the refrigerators and pulling stuff out on the floor. Then she puts her face, Kevin, you'll love this, she puts her face under the ice cream dispenser.
Yep.
And starts just squirting ice cream right into her mouth.
That's my woman. And that's not ice cream.
And they have it on security camera, and a couple of employees uploaded it to the internet, and here they are commenting on it. And by the way, they did get fired for sharing this video of this woman in the Florida McDonald's, but here's how they described it.
This is crazy. Oh my goodness. She's destroying our store, bro. She's eating the ice cream right out of the machine. Look at her.
Now, we're going to talk about her more next hour, because she says that she doesn't remember a second of that, and she is horrified to see that video that she was practically naked in the McDonald's.
That's shocking.
Isn't it, though? Yeah. Wouldn't you think that would leave an impression? But she says she's bipolar and she was having an episode and she doesn't remember anything about it. So we'll talk more about that next hour.
I think I would do that, too, just to get the free ice cream, though.
You think?
Yeah, oh, good call.
That's good.
So you're just acting like you're crazy?
Yeah,
I blacked out. Yeah. I didn't know anything about it.
I'm topless.
Sure did get some ice cream.
Get some McFlurries.
I don't know why this video is just now surfacing, but it's from 1996, a little-remembered game show called The Big Date, hosted by Mark L. Wahlberg, by the way. One of the contestants on the panel who did not win the date, by the way, is John Hamm, now famous for Mad Men, but here he is back when he was 25.
How about you, John? You're on a first date, marries the girl, you want to really impress her. How do you make her feel special?
Well, start off with some fabulous food, a little fabulous conversation.
What else fabulous, John?
End it with a fabulous foot massage for an evening of total fabulosity.
Oh.
It's so funny to see what John Hamm looked like at 25. He's just slouched down in his chair, and he's got long hair, and he just has none of, like, the suave.
Little douchey.
Little douchey.
And if you're trying to get the attention of a woman, I'm not sure fabulous is the word that you should be calling out.
Kevin, I'm going to let you describe this next video with the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, because it's called Summertime is Great, and I know you love it.
I can't tell if it's real or not. I think it is.
It's real.
I think it's real.
Yeah.
You think these people are intending to do a good song, and it's just so bad that we look at it horrified?
And look, we're all guessing. I think that's the case, yes.
It is.
It's a father and a daughter and their son, and they are singing about how happy they are at summertime, and it is maybe one of the worst things that you've ever seen in your life.
It's a terrible song, but at least they have no talent for singing, and it's the most low-budget video you've ever seen. And again, we warn you, you might get this one stuck in your head, too. It's called Summertime is Great.
Going to the beach, oh yeah, I got my swimsuit on, I don't have a care. It's my favorite time of year.
It's summertime, and isn't it great? It's summertime when everything's great.
You're going to be thinking of that one today.
That's the dad, right, that's playing the guitar and singing?
Yes.
I don't know. This is just a family who recorded a song and about summer, and they just did it for fun.
I don't think that's what I think, too. Well, that's what I think, too. They did it for fun, but they put it on YouTube.
Yeah, they did.
And that's a mistake.
Oh, yeah. You got to see this one. Two more videos of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup for today. This one is actually a very clever concept. We've all seen those commercials where you sing the State Farm jingle, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, your agent appears to help you out with whatever problem you have. Well, the premise of this ad is that the State Farm agent, A, doesn't want to come help you, and B, sometimes is busy doing something else. Sometimes he's on vacation. Sometimes he's asleep. Sometimes Sometimes he's on the toilet, but you know, you summon him, the State Farm agent appears.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What the hell? I was in Tahiti, man!
Well, my car has a scratch on it.
It's freezing out here. Where the hell are we?
Gary, Indiana?
It's just a scratch, man! Take me to the airport, assholes!
It's very, very funny. And finally, on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, Jimmy Fallon, the host of The Tonight Show on NBC, very musical. Every night it seems like he's singing something with somebody. And this time he had actress Anne Hathaway on, and they decided to do Broadway versions, Jimmy at the piano, Anne singing at the microphone, doing Broadway versions of rap songs. And it came out pretty great.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G.
But I somehow, someway, come on funky act like every day. Rolling down the street smoking endo, sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. My mind's on the money and the money's mine.
Ooh, hey.
We find all the best videos of the week all around the internet and put them in one handy location for you at KevinAbean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bane, Internet Roundup.
106.7 KRock? Not yet, huh? Not yet.
No, hold you on. Could go. You could go.
Sorry. Shh.
But this is my favorite part, so shut up.
Right, now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:41.
All of us love the TV show Veep so much, which finally returned for the start of Season 3 this past Sunday night at 10:30 on HBO. It was like a family reunion, seeing all those guys up on the screen before. Again, we had so much fun with it, and we're so excited to welcome Tony Hale back to the program, who, of course, plays the vice president's assistant, the personal aide, Gary Walsh. Hey, Tony, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. You know, our crack research department here at the Kevin Bean Show has unveiled that you were on our show in our studio exactly 1 year ago today on April 11th, 2013.
Is it? Okay, first of all, that's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
It's kind of freaky. It's like it's Tony Hale Day now.
Good. I'm surprised that anybody that works for our show caught that.
I guess. That's pretty impressive.
I guess what I'm saying is, now that it's two in a row, we can't break the streak. We are going to expect you on April 11th every year on the Kevin and Bean Show, even if it falls on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yes. Put it on the calendar now, please.
Now, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen the first episode of Veep, but I want to ask Tony a question because we had Tim Simons in.
Oh, yeah?
Just before that episode. And he, of course, didn't say anything about the fact that he was, fired. So yeah, is that why you're calling us today?
Because I'm happy about it?
No, is it tonight? Is your swan song or Sunday night, I'm sorry?
Kevin's wondering if Tim came in and then he got fired. Does that mean you're on the show now and you're going to get fired?
Bad things happen.
I see what you're saying. Oh, God. Well, no, I mean, the fact is, if Gary ever gets fired, he might as well just... That's emotional suicide for Gary.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know life outside of Selena. So, I mean, that's going to be a dark day.
Yeah, he can't survive it. Now, he's in love with the vice president, right?
Oh, yeah. His dream is to be married to Selena Meyer.
Yeah. And it's so funny, I mean, because she's so unlikable and she's such a nightmare. It's interesting that he would find her so attractive.
You're talking about the woman he loves.
That's right.
Exactly. She only speaks rainbows and unicorns.
Right.
In Gary's world.
We asked him the same question about getting response from people in Washington and what they thought. There have to be people who are the real you and cannot possibly be happy about that portrayal.
No. Oh, please. No. If I ever meet them, all I'm going to do is apologize profusely. We actually met our counterpart before we shot the pilot. I don't know if Tim said this also, but... And it was, you know, the guy said that he did it in his 20s, my role, which is a body man. And then you get burned out because you never see your family. You never see, you know, you don't have a social life. And then he moved on to different stuff. Gary is in his 40s and will never leave. The bosom of Selena Meyer is the only place he ever wants to be.
Right. Do you see a lot of similarities, Tony, between the types of people that go into show business and the types of people who go into politics?
Oh, good question. I will say I don't. Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of positioning that goes on. That's for sure. But there's a big similarity with both of them in high school. You know, it's like whoever the popular person is in high school, everybody, the closer you get to the popular person, the more powerful you feel. And Obama's a popular kid. Celebrities, sure. Big celebrities are the popular kids out here. And whoever can get closest to them feels more popular, powerful themselves. So there's not much difference from when we were growing up.
It's always high school, isn't it?
Always. And middle school, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, we talked a lot about this episode, one that aired last Sunday night, and one of the scenes that struck us all so funny was the scene at the wedding where everybody had to give up their phones. I mean, we live in 2014 now where people really do freak out if they don't have eyes on a screen at any time. I mean, that was hilarious, Tony.
It's true. And of course, obviously this shows a satire and it takes it to the extreme, but, you know, I bet that wedding is not like a lot of D.C. weddings, you know, or not even like, and also like a lot of L.A. weddings, where it's interesting when you see pictures nowadays of weddings or anywhere else, everybody, if you notice, is holding their iPhone or is holding their phone in the picture, and it's become its own appendage.
Right. There was a viral video this week, and it has not been officially determined whether it's real or not, but there's a couple who's getting married. They're on video. They're taking their vows, and while the preacher is speaking, the bride pulls the phone out from the front of her dress and looks at her phone during the vows.
Oh, my God.
Okay, first of all, is it a joke?
We don't know. There's not a lot of biographical information, but it went around as you will cringe in horror when you see this. If it is real, and I wouldn't be surprised if it is real.
That's the point. The point is not whether it's real or not; is that it very well could be real.
And you know, it's also what's kind of sad about it. It's an addiction, like it's its own addiction, where people have formed pathways in their brain of necessity to look at the screen and look at updates and look at constant information.
Yep. I mean, there used to be a time when you could pull up to a traffic light and people would just sit there and like tap on the steering wheel with whatever's on the radio while they're waiting for their light to change. And now they go, oh, I have 11 seconds. I got to see what's on Facebook.
Yes, that is so. And the fact that I'm guilty of it as well. I mean, it's something that I have to watch. Because, you know, if you ever hear that bit Louis C.K. did about texting or whatever, he talked about, it was a hilarious bit that I think he did on Conan, where he found himself, you know, always looking at the phone or whatever, and he realized people are doing that because they're afraid to sit in silence and realize that the vastness of the universe, life, it's like we're all distracting ourselves from loneliness or whatever, and so he pulled off the side of the road and just started crying because everything hit him. He took some time to really just absorb what was around them. And we're all just medicating those feelings.
Wow, this has turned very deep, Tony.
It has.
I know.
I'll tell you a funny story to bring it back. I was sitting watching a Los Angeles Kings game, and my daughter was in the next room, 10 feet away. And I called her, and she didn't hear me, so I got out my phone and I texted her. Hey, it's Dad, Kings game on. Come on! And she came out. She's like, did you really just text me from the next room?
God forbid you walk over. I mean,
that's too much like exercise.
Well, we've got a lot of multitasking going on the show here today. We had Nick Frost on earlier today, Tony, and he confessed at the end of the interview that he was talking to us from his toilet. So apparently everybody has to do two things at once now.
Oh, wow.
And I know that's
I love that he even said that.
Yeah, that's a very grim image, and I apologize for putting that into your mind as he put it into our mind.
Take that off.
We're almost out of time. Anything else you want us to know about season 3 of Veep, which has just begun? If you didn't see it, you can still catch it on demand or online. You definitely have to get on board with this show. It is one of the best on TV. What else should we look forward to in season 3, Tony?
Well, you know, season 3, she's officially on the campaign trail, so we're out of the White House. And here's the deal. The fact that anybody wants to give that woman money for her campaign is an idiot.
Yeah.
We meet a lot of idiots.
Well, that's all I need to know. And as long as her fans keep showing up with butter sculptures of the great state of Iowa, I'm going to continue to watch Veep. It is a great show. Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. And Tony, if it's not before, we'll talk to you next April 11th. Okay?
Yes, exactly. I'll see you then.
Thanks, man.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series: How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 8, Hydration. Remember, the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival is a metaphoric marathon, not a metaphoric sprint. And as in any metaphoric marathon, it's important to stay hydrated. Metaphorically. Drink lots of fluids before you arrive at the event. But don't worry, water will also be sold on site. And loan officers will be on hand to help you finance your water purchase. You may find it a more efficient fluid-to-fund ratio to drink beer. And after two beers, when you've run out of money, you can always drink your own urine. We repeat, your own urine, you freaks. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
Try not to die.
That's good advice, I think. That's good advice anytime, but particularly at Coachella. Could we get a current temperature, please, at the K-Rock Party House at Coachella, Kevin?
It is 24.2 Celsius.
Oh, that's helpful.
Why do we have it set like that?
I don't know. That seems less than useful.
Why is it set like that? I don't understand.
I just am waiting to hear it get to 150 like
it's getting hot. I mean, it's about 70-ish now, but it will get super hot today. It's going to be a hot, hot weekend.
That's how it do. Hey, speaking of Coachella, we're going to talk to an editor from Billboard Magazine next hour about some of the acts that maybe, look, everyone knows Muse, but there are acts that are not headliners that are definitely worth checking out this week. Weekend at the festival. We got that for you next hour coming up. Also, we'll talk to new daddy Mike Catherwood. Psycho Mike had a kid yesterday.
No!
And we'll find out if she's still alive. So that's all coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Lisa May.
So the Jacksons are just going to stay in court forever. That's what I've decided, because Debbie Rowe is now going to court to sue for guardianship of the two kids that she had with Michael Jackson. That would be Paris and Prince.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second, because all of these names have been out of the headlines for a while. Right. So Debbie Rowe was like a dental assistant or something who was friends with Michael Jackson, and he decided, hey, I need someone to have my kids, so you do it. But they weren't married or anything. They didn't even have a romantic relationship, right?
No, I don't even know if they had sex.
I put it in you. In a doctor's office.
Tube
way.
Or, yeah, gotcha. Okay. Exactly.
All right. So she's been kind of a little bit off the scene, and like she hasn't had anything to do with raising those kids or even seeing those kids, as far as I know. Right.
I think when they were young, she was involved.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. But, of course, with Michael gone, you know, over time as they got older, I think she wasn't involved anymore. And then after he passed away, Catherine Jackson, Michael's mom, got custody. But she's really old. And Debbie says she's too old to do this. She said, I like her, but she's just too old and she doesn't connect with the kids and she's not really involved with their lives.
Well, isn't Joe Jackson, their grandfather, there to beat them?
That might be part of the problem, although she doesn't mention that.
Wow.
But, I love this because she's also really upset with Jermaine Jackson. He's the one that's going to do Celebrity Wife Swap. Mm-hmm. She says he is just plain creepy and extremely inappropriate, and she wants him as far away from the kids as possible.
Kevin, would you want, if you were gone, would you want the Jackson family having anything to do with raising your children?
No, none of them.
No, absolutely.
I can't blame her at all for going, hey, these kids are probably not getting what they need. I mean, because that family is so dysfunctional.
Well, in Paris, you know, she had the suicide attempt.
That's right.
And she doesn't think that she's getting the follow-up she needs. And then she's really worried about Blanket, who is not her biological child, but is 12 years old. And she thinks that Blanket's the most vulnerable and in danger.
Yeah.
So
has the name Blanket.
And has Prince, Paris, and Blanket. What is wrong with this picture? So you know what she's doing? I didn't know that she raises horses in Palmdale.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's filing legal documents asking the judge to appoint her guardian. And by the way, she has never asked the estate for any money. She's not looking for a payday.
How about that? That's rare.
Yeah, very rare. She does seem like a cool chick.
Yeah,
well, she's
I think
not
so too.
A Jackson, and so that gives her a point.
Exactly. Have you not seen Miley Cyrus's boobs yet?
I've not.
Really? You're the only one. You're not trying very hard.
You know what? The honest truth is, I'm not trying very hard to see those.
Well, if you want to, they're on Instagram this morning. She was getting her hair cut, and she put out a couple of photos. And in the second one, she has what Bean calls the arm bra to sort of cover her chest.
I'm
but sort
of
not. You don't need to. Just go on Instagram. It's right there. She's been all over the place promoting herself and being naked.
So she did a photo shoot
she does.
Like a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, where she was topless riding a horse, too. I mean, it does seem like she hates shirts.
Yes, she hates shirts. I think that's what we can take away.
You know what else is funny, though? Is like for a while, she was white hot, all anybody talked about.
I know.
Now she's running around nude. No one cares.
Yeah, that's a case of too much.
Yeah.
It's just, it all gets old.
Well, not all of it.
Gwyneth Paltrow may be suffering from a little bit of a postpartum midlife crisis kind of thing. A close friend is telling PrezHilton.com that she's hosting Goop film festivals at her home with her friends, where she screens some of her biggest movies from the 90s, like Seven and Sliding Doors, which that was a really good movie, and Shakespeare in Love, but that her friends would really rather watch paint dry than watch your movies.
So wait, really to have a movie night where she features movies she's in.
Let's watch me.
Oh,
here's
my
a
God.
Movie with
Kidding me.
Tell me how good I look.
How did Chris Martin stay with her as long as
know.
He did?
And he's not wearing his wedding ring anymore, but apparently she still is.
Yeah, well. Everybody kind of has different emotions about when the time to take the ring off is, because in some ways some people like to leave it on kind of in a mourning period, mm-hmm. some sort of show of respect, or until the divorce is final or something like that, or maybe they take it off when they're ready to start dating. Other people, man, like the minute you guys decide you're splitting up, that ring comes off.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what he did.
I just can't. But you're so right, Lisa. This is so, hey, remember how pretty I was?
Yeah.
Hey, look how talented. Hey, I won an Oscar for this role. Can you just imagine the play-by-play in her home theater for her own films with her poor friends?
I would have to leave the country. Couldn't do it. My boyfriend,
terrible.
Mike Rowe, is headed back to TV. You know, he was in Dirty Jobs. He did that for how many seasons?
Oh, like eight seasons?
Yeah,
something
he
like
did
that?
Every Dirty Job there was. So he's going back to host CNN's Somebody's Gotta Do It, which will show innovators, do-gooders, entrepreneurs, collectors, and fanatics.
F me.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything he does, it'll be great on TV.
He's great on TV, and he's just, he's super fun to watch.
Anything he do is good.
Anything he do is good.
That's true.
And Charlie Sheen has another TV show. What is happening? The Wii Cable Channel. What's the Wii Cable Channel?
It's Women's Entertainment.
Oh, okay. So is that's not the Oprah Channel, though?
Nope, that's OWN.
It's
this is Wii.
It's a different one. Okay. So, anyway, they've ordered a pilot for a relationship show called Charlie Sheen's Bad Influence. So he's going to take engaged couples and put them to the ultimate test by challenging how well they think they know the person that they're about to marry.
Boom.
Nope.
How is he the guy doing this? He's a guy who's been married multiple times and has broken off lots of engagements.
It makes no sense, except that I guess they just think people want to watch him.
Nope. I guess so.
Not me.
Nope. Boom. Me neither. Boom. All right, celebrity birthdays. Peter Reigart is 67. You know him from Animal House. He's also on Dads with Seth Green. Trisha Helfer is 40, actress. Kevin's girlfriend, Alessandra Ambrosio, is 33. Are you going to see her this year?
Yeah.
And singer Joss Stone is 27, and that's the showbiz.
By the way, speaking of Dave Grohl, last night was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony in New York, and we don't get a chance to see it till the end of May, but I'm so excited to see the Nirvana segment, because Lord was out there on stage singing All Apologies, Joan Jett sang Smells Like Teen Spirit. I mean, it just sounds like it's awesome, and everybody got up and spoke, and Kurt's mom was there. It just sounds like it's going to be a very, very cool event to see when it airs.
I like that they went a different direction than trying to find somebody that sounds like him, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Kevin is at the K-Rock Party House at Coachella. K-Rock's going to be broadcasting all weekend long from there with lots of guests stopping by, interviews, and performances. You can still be at Coachella. You've got another couple of chances to win here on K-Rock. 9 o'clock this morning, less than an hour from right now, and 5 o'clock this afternoon. We continue to give away tickets to Coachella.
All right, let's talk about people who black out and don't remember what they did.
Kevin.
How dare you? Because the story of the woman that went into the McDonald's topless and destroyed it and then said, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, I think most people, if you're on the internet, you've probably had the opportunity to see this video. I mean, it goes on for several minutes. She is surprisingly, and I have, as always, Kevin, I have more questions than answers
sure.
when I see this story. Did she drive or walk or ride a bike or hitchhike or something to get to the McDonald's wearing just a pair of panties and nothing else? Or was she dressed when she got there and then stripped in the parking lot and went in?
How much detail do you need?
I want to know.
She was topless. She was destroying a McDonald's. What difference does it make if she drove or rode a bike?
I'm just curious how it all happened. That's all. But it's a crazy, crazy video. And she was interviewed off camera after the incident and said, yeah, exactly as Kevin said, that even though it lasted for several minutes and she did a lot of crazy stuff, she doesn't remember any of it. She says it was because she's bipolar and this was just an episode. And she claimed to be very embarrassed by it and was shocked when she saw the video. Listen to this report about Sandra Suarez and that crazy night she had in a Florida McDonald's.
A naked woman on a rampage in a local McDonald's, and while it got some snickers here, the woman in the video is not laughing, and neither are the management group at McDonald's. What was this naked lady thinking?
Well, John, in a way, she says she was not thinking at all. And the doctor did tell police right after examining her the night of the incident that she was neither drunk nor doing drugs.
All right,
she
stop right there. By the way, we're going to be taking your calls. If you've ever done something when you were blacked out or having an episode or maybe just super, super drunk, you did something that you found out about afterwards that you were shocked by. You could not believe that you did it because you had no memory of it whatsoever. That's what we're looking for.
Before we go back to the news, I would just like to point out that that guy is most certainly my father.
Does that sound like you? So 1-800-520-1067. Something you did that you have no memory of. And by the way, I've never met anybody except for my late grandfather who calls it McDonald's.
Yeah, true. Claims she was having a bipolar episode, so she does not remember walking up here and propositioning an employee in the parking lot.
Pinellas Park police tell us Suarez walked up the street from here about three blocks away, dressed just as you see her.
Oh.
She damaged one register, destroyed a cookie display, and at one point puts her head under the ice cream spigot.
She's eating the ice cream right out of the machine. Look at her.
But that was just her first serving of ice cream.
She reminds me of some type of...
She ate herself a gun.
Making herself an ice cream.
Police say she resisted arrest with violence, grabbing at one officer while expressing sexual desires. And when we met Suarez, she explained she's being treated for depression and bipolar disorder and has very little memory of her McDonald's escapade.
We need to ask Dr. Drew how these bipolar episodes work, because I am unfamiliar with this affliction. But she, according to the story, she went to the parking lot of the McDonald's and propositioned a McDonald's employee for oral sex in the parking lot.
Yeah, she said, would you like me to give you oral sex? And the guy goes, no.
No memory of that whatsoever. No memory of going into the restaurant, of knocking the register off the counter, of helping herself to some ice cream and french fries. No memory of any of it as a result of this thing. I do approve of her boobs, however. I don't know what your opinion is on the video, Kevin, but I think they're great.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
All right. 1-800.
They're attached to a crazy person, though.
520-1067. We want to know what happened that you couldn't believe after the fact because you couldn't remember it. Let's talk to Morgan real quick. She's on line two, and this is exactly what we're talking about. Hi, Morgan. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. So basically, it's technically blacked out, but anyway, I've been waiting for you guys to do this segment forever. I sleptwalked out of my apartment, out of my front door, into the elevator, up to the apartment above mine that is the exact same layout as my apartment. They had their door unlocked, walked right in, went into the bedroom that would be mine, took off my pants, got into bed with the guy's girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
And she woke me up by saying, "Who are you? What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm Morgan." And I sat up and didn't know where I was and started cussing and crying and went downstairs, and she handed me my pants before I left, and that's the story.
So when did you find out about it?
When she woke me up.
Wow. It took a minute, I'm sure, to realize you weren't in your apartment. You were in another apartment that looked just like yours.
Exactly. The only thing that made me realize that it wasn't my apartment was the closet that's a mirror closet in my apartment was a real closet there.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then the guy, her boyfriend, who should have been in bed, walks in and's like, "Oh, yeah, I remember seeing you. It's nice to meet you." And I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Her boyfriend was like, "Yeah, now we're getting somewhere."
Have you had lots of sleepwalking incidents, or was that the only time?
No, I've sleepwalked other times before. I sleepwalked out of a hotel room into the bay of elevators, and my friend, thank God, found me there, and yeah, I do it all the time.
And where do you live exactly? What's your address?
Kevin would like to move into the apartment above you. All right, Morgan, thanks so much for the call. Have a great weekend, my dear. We'll take a call, a quick call.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come right back after this on K-Rock.
You going to see Lord tomorrow night, Kevin?
I am.
7:55 at the Outdoor Theater at Coachella. If you want to see it, don't forget you can get the complete lineup of all the bands playing Coachella at krock.com. We'll be talking to a Billboard editor in a few minutes about some of the bands you haven't heard about, some of the artists you might want to check out. You know who you're going for, but there's a lot of great music you don't know yet, so we'll take care of that. In the meantime, we're talking about things you did that you don't remember. You were blacked out, you were having some sort of a mental episode, drunk, whatever it was, it happened and somebody had to tell you about it afterwards and you had no memory of it at all. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Kim is going to get us going now here for round two. He's on line seven. Hi, Kim. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Hello, Kim.
Hello. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah. What happened, dude?
Well, apparently my last holiday party, I showed off my junk to everybody. And then I,
good.
Tried to use the restroom, and I apparently crapped everywhere except for in the toilet.
Oh
dude.
You're that
then,
guy.
On the way home, apparently I threw up outside my boss's truck, and then all over my house and floor.
Now, was this
just every orifice?
Yeah, it's amazing. Everywhere.
You had more on the outside of your body than you had on the inside of your body. Was this just because you were super, super drunk, or was there something else going on?
I think there was something besides alcohol that was kind of a catalyst, but yeah, it was definitely an intoxication night that required a stomach pumpage, I don't know.
Now, that sounds like the kind of weekend that most people wake up from and go, I will never drink again. Did that change the way you viewed alcohol?
Yeah, ironically, it was a holiday party, so I did my New Year's resolution that lasted probably till like Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Hey, you gave it the old college try. Thanks for the call, Kim. Appreciate that. Let's go to Eric. He's on line six. Eric, thank you for calling. What did you do that somebody had to tell you about after the fact?
Yeah, hello. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, my 21st birthday, my buddies and I were making a lot of money at the time. We ran a private plane for my 21st birthday to go to Vegas.
Wow.
And we got on the plane, we're already drinking, and the next thing I remember, I woke up Monday morning in my bed in Irvine, California.
Wait, and you don't have any memory at all of being in Las Vegas?
None whatsoever. I remember you went on the plane.
You went on Friday?
Yeah.
And you don't remember anything until being in bed in Irvine?
I don't remember anything. And one of our friends was sober that went with us, so he videotaped the entire thing. And we
watched he did the right thing, first of all.
So I hate to ask this, but in Las Vegas, drunk, you can make a lot of bad choices that can cost you a lot of money. How did that go?
Yeah, I looked at my bank statement later, and I spent $60,000.
$60,000? 60-0?
What did you get for your $60,000?
He doesn't know.
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
I guess we went to some club, and I pretty much gave the bartender my credit card, and I said, whoever wants a drink, put it on my tab.
That's fantastic.
Look, but all he had to do was come back and sell some more meth, and you were good.
That is fantastic. Kevin, you need to go to Vegas with Eric. He's
no, I don't. No, I don't.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Andrew. He's up next. He's on line three. Andrew, I understand you blacked out at a work party. What happened?
Yeah, kind of the same thing as the caller previously. It was a holiday work party, a Christmas party at a bowling alley. I apparently got so drunk only a few hours into it. The next thing I remember is waking up in my bed the next morning.
So, and there was also video. What kind of stuff did you miss while you were out of it?
Well, they had to recount everything that happened, and the video footage shows me almost rolling a perfect game, moonwalking across the bowling
Sweet.
Alley floor.
Good.
And then apparently there was a guy in the restroom dropping a deuce, and I knocked the door down over on him while he was doing that.
Oh, my God. That party had everything. That's fantastic.
Wow, that's so bizarre. You don't remember anything until you got home.
I love that he was moonwalking, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, sir. Let's go to Nikki. Let's take one more call. She's on line five. This didn't happen to her, but she can speak to my questions about the girl that started this phone topic, the girl at McDonald's who had a bipolar episode.
Yes.
Doesn't remember anything about what happened. I don't know how bipolarity works. Nikki, what happened to your friend?
Well, yeah, I had a friend who was bipolar, and she didn't take her meds one night, and she also drank a little alcohol, which is a really bad combination for bipolar people. And she apparently just, like, got a baseball bat, and she started beating her boyfriend's truck. Then she came after me with the baseball bat.
Oh, my God.
She had to log herself into a home, and then we didn't see her after that, and needless to say, we're not best friends anymore.
Wow. So basically, I mean, that's a characteristic of being bipolar, is that when you're off your meds, you literally just don't remember anything that happens.
Exactly, yeah.
That seems like it would be an awfully good defense that you could almost plan out ahead of time to commit crime.
You could do anything and get away with it.
Right, exactly.
Not my fault, I don't remember.
Right,
yeah,
all right.
She would also do the get naked thing, too, like this woman, where she would strip off all her clothes. She would sometimes have sex with men, not remember it. You know,
and what's her phone number?
So it's not a terrible disorder for everyone then.
Apparently not for the guys.
All right, thanks. Kevin is live from the K-Rock Party House at Coachella. Are you going to be able to find it on Monday? Do you think, Kevin?
I can't answer that.
It's going to be a pretty long weekend out
there. As of right now.
Let me tell you something about Coachella, and I don't know how many years in a row this festival has happened out in the desert, but every year it's the same. It's like a big, giant, unwrapped present at this time of the weekend. You have no idea what it's going to be like. You have no idea what the memory is that you're going to make, the thing that you're going to remember, the greatest show in your life from a band you didn't even know was going to be performing until you went. That's what's great, because with so much to choose from, it's impossible to know all the groups on the bill, and we thought it might be fun to catch up with Jason Lipschitz. He's on the phone right now. He's the associate editor from Billboard Magazine and the Pop Shop blog editor. Say that three times fast. Hi, Jason. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good.
It's going great. Are you already out there in the desert? Are you on your way, or what's your status?
I am. I'm outside in Palm Springs staring at a golf course right now. I could not be happier. I'm based in New York, so this is heaven for me.
And I get the impression from your article that you've seen a lot of damn Coachella performances over the years.
Yeah, I mean, so this is actually only my third year going to the festival, but I've been like a faithful watcher of every live stream they've had, of scavenging through every YouTube clip I can possibly find. So I love Coachella. I'm very happy to be back.
By the way, this year, just as a side note, they are broadcasting live YouTube stuff from both weekends, not just the first.
That's going to be great. All right, well, let's talk about some of the acts. I mean, everybody knows, you know, the headliners. Everybody is familiar with, you know, Lord and Foster the People and Calvin Harris and Outkast and Muse and the big, big names, Arcade Fire. You know, everybody knows about all that stuff. But some of the names that maybe they're just tangentially familiar with, or names that are great live acts that they just haven't had a chance to see yet, that's what I'm fascinated in talking to you about, Jason. Like, for instance, you bring up a band called The Knife that I remember being pretty poppy when they started. It seems like they've gotten weird in the most recent years. Here's a tiny clip of this band out of Sweden. What are your thoughts on them for this weekend?
So The Knife is a Swedish electronic music duo. They're actually brother and sister, and they're one of the more inscrutable artists that Coachella audiences will probably ever see. I mean, they make this such magnetic electronic music, and what we just heard was Heartbeats, one of their best-known singles. But their shows, which rarely come to North America, are full of, like, props and masks and, like, this thing called Dance-Yoki, which I don't even really know what that is, but I'm very interested in finding out today. So they're rarely here, but they have some really great songs that people should definitely check out.
It does seem like Coachella, I mean, considering it is not an electronic music festival, seems to be one of the best electronic music festivals of the year anywhere around the globe.
Yeah, and what you see at a lot of other festivals is you see the electronic artists, the EDM superstars, but you don't have them, you know, as accessible as Coachella with the Sahara stage, which is just basically producers and DJs spinning and people losing their minds in that tent. It's one of the best parts of Coachella, in my opinion.
Let's talk about Ellie Goulding. She's a voice that's familiar to some people who listen to Top 40 radio. Maybe you know this song, Burn. And we're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. But what are you excited about seeing her live?
So the thing about Ellie Goulding is that she's actually really evolved from her beginnings. When she started out, she was a little bit on the folkier side, and now she's kind of progressed into this dance star. And, you know, interestingly about Ellie, she had this kind of breakthrough with Lights in the U.S., but ever since then, she's had hit song after hit song. We just heard Burn, but also Anything Could Happen. Her new song, Beating Heart, is on the Divergent soundtrack. I saw her a couple weeks ago in New York, and she's really mind-blowing. She's going to be on the main stage today. She totally deserves this spot, and I think she's just going to get bigger and bigger, in my opinion.
Now, both of those acts that we just talked about, The Knife and Ellie Goulding, that are playing today at Coachella, we move on to Saturday now, and everybody knows the name Pharrell, and maybe you love him because of his appearance on Blurred Lines or on the Daft Punk Get Lucky song.
Or his hat.
Or maybe his famous hat, yeah.
Sure.
Now we're to take him as a solo artist. His latest song is called Marilyn Monroe. Listen to this. Everything that I want is crystal clear. He's been a guest artist for so long, but now he's a breakthrough solo act, and I imagine he's going to be very well attended tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, it's funny that Muse is less listed as the headliner, but in the weeks leading up to Coachella, I've heard many more people talk about how they can't wait to see Pharrell on Saturday night. And you hit the nail on the head. He's been a part of so many amazing songs over the years, you know, collaborating with Diddy and Snoop Dogg and Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears, and now he has all those songs that he can play, but he also has the number one song in the country, Happy, which has been number one for 2 months or so, and a great new solo album that's, you know, it's his second solo album, but it completely redefines him as an artist. And he's going to be making a lot of people dance in the desert on Saturday night.
He's not going to do that 24-hour version of Happy like on that one video, is he?
I hope not. I think it'll be too hot for Happy is Indio.
Happy is beer run time for me, but I like the other ones on his album.
We are talking to Jason.
I think that's actually what the song is about.
Yeah, maybe so. We're talking to Jason Lipschitz here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is with Billboard Magazine. Listen to this. This is a song called Waiting Game. The artist is Banks. I don't want to say love is a waiting game. That sounds great, Jason. Tell us more.
Yeah, so Banks is actually a singer-songwriter named Jillian Banks from L.A., and, you know, she's only put out one EP, but it's gotten this kind of critical acclaim that you rarely see just from, you know, a four-song release. That EP, which was called London, came out last fall, and it was so strong that she actually opened for The Weeknd on his theater tour last fall, and you know, she's just an artist that not a lot of people know unless you're a music diehard, but she is definitely someone who's playing around like 3 or 4 o'clock on Saturday that you're going to want to take time to you know, check out for half an hour and really be dazzled. She has a great live show as well.
This is why it's great to have you on, is because, you know, as you said at the top of the break here, it's impossible to keep up with 150 bands. So you want some direction on who's definitely worth checking out. So that's a great tip. All right, let's move along to Sunday. I know she's a big name. We've played her on K-Rock. We've had her as a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. But
obviously,
she's a very polarizing artist. Lana Del Rey plays Sunday night. Here's her Big Smash remix from last year. I just wanted you to know. Now, she's taken some knocks on her live shows over the year, particularly with TV performances like on SNL. What can we expect Sunday?
Well, what's interesting about Lana Del Rey to me is that, like you said, she has been polarizing in the past. She started out kind of like an internet joke when she put out her first album in 2012. But over the past few years, there's been such a shift in the thinking toward her that people have really listened to those songs, and she put out an EP, Tropico, in between her first and upcoming second album that really, you know, arrested a lot of people. And now, you know, Born to Die, her first album, just sold 1 million copies. It just passed that marker. And now her second album, which is coming out in the next couple months, it's called Ultraviolence, is going to be one of the most anticipated albums of this year, which was, you know, really hard to predict a year or so ago. So I think that this is going to be a huge, huge year for Lana Del Rey. She's going to reach that next
tier of artists. And I think Coachella, maybe she'll play a new single. She has a single apparently called West Coast that she's ready to unveil. Maybe she'll do it on Sunday night.
I love her, by the way. I've never had any problem with her. And all those people who gave her crap about, you know, changing her name and trying to reinvent herself. I mean, there are a million artists have done that. Lady Gaga, lots of people change their name and change their look because of, you know, where they are musically. I don't have any problem with that.
I know we're out of time, but I would like to just chime in and say she is not great live. I don't think she's a great performer. She doesn't have great stage presence to me.
Well, maybe she'll convince you otherwise on Sunday night.
All right, I want to do one more for Sunday night, only because this is the one on your list, Jason, that I had never heard of before. Help me pronounce her name. She's an R&B singer-songwriter who appeared on the Drake Nothing Was the Same album, but I don't know her. Who is she?
So she is Janae Aiko,
okay.
And she's an R&B singer. She's very new. She's very young, but she's already been co-signed by some of the biggest artists in hip-hop and R&B. She was on the Drake album, Nothing Was the Same. She actually appeared with him on SNL when he performed and hosted. But she's also worked with Lil Wayne, Childish Gambino, Big Sean. She has kind of an Aaliyah vibe. She has a very fragile voice, and the songs are there. She put out an EP last year, and it went top 10. She's readying her first album. She's playing on Sunday night, I believe, and you know, I think she's going to attract a couple people that may not know who she is.
Oh, absolutely.
Are going to be blown away, yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of her song called The Worst.
Don't take this personal. You're the worst, you know what you've done to me.
That is Janae Aiko. Again, we're talking about Sunday night at Coachella. So those are some tips of some groups that maybe you haven't been too familiar with that you might want to check out playing this weekend and, of course, next weekend as well. You can go to billboard.com for way more on Coachella, including a list that Jason participated in on the greatest performances in the history of the festival that I think you'll enjoy very much. And you can follow Jason on Twitter at Jason Lipschutz. Thanks so much for the time, man. We enjoyed it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. You too.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Hey, Ruthless Robbie Lawyer. Welterweight UFC fighter, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Did you know your name was Lawyer?
No, I did not.
Did I say that?
You said Lawyer,
that's
yeah.
That's a terrible start then.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Yeah, that was the first second of the interview. That yeah. was.
That's how you make your guests feel welcome, is just to get their name wrong right at the first thing. All right, Keith and Bean here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We were talking earlier this morning about Mickey Rooney and how he has been one of Hollywood's biggest stars since he's done over 300 films.
Wow.
You stop and think about that. And movie stars of today have, you know, 30. They're considered to be have a huge success. But he's 93 years old when he passed away, and he had a total of $18,000.
That's unbelievable.
That seems impossible.
I feel like a guy, a Hollywood royalty guy like Mickey Rooney, should be walking around with $18,000 on him.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Because, but I mean, obviously he was making movies, you know, a long time ago when the money wasn't like it is today, but for God's sakes, $18,000, that's cutting it pretty close.
It is.
He died just in time.
Like if he'd have lived another month, he would have been broke.
Right. He'd be out there trying to get another role.
And by the way, if he has any kids that are still alive, because he was 93, I'm sure he survived some, you know, outlived some of his kids. But if he has any kids, they have to be like, come on, Dad, you couldn't leave me something, right?
Yeah, 18
like
grand
that.
Total.
Everybody yesterday was talking about the announcement that I think was universally applauded, that Stephen Colbert is going to be taken over for David Letterman sometime in 2015. It's interesting to hear what people have had to say since then. Stephen Colbert, for instance, issued a statement. I am thrilled and grateful that CBS chose me. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go grind a gap in my front teeth. David Letterman, who apparently was consulted on who his successor would be, said, Stephen has always been a real friend to me. I'm very excited for him, and I'm flattered that CBS chose him. I also happen to know that they wanted another guy with glasses. Jon Stewart, one of Stephen Colbert's best friends, of course, you know, his show is next to his on Comedy Central, said that Stephen Colbert would be amazing for The Late Show, and it would give him a chance to really show off what he can do, that there are things we have no idea that Stephen Colbert can do that we have not seen him do on his TV show yet, so look forward to that. One negative comment. Who do you think was really upset about Stephen Colbert being given the late-night CBS job?
Who was really upset by that?
Keeping in mind what Stephen
Craig
Colbert's...
Ferguson.
Craig Ferguson, by the way, got somewhere between $5 and $10 million for being passed over for the promotion. Oh, that's how his contract was written, that if he did not succeed David Letterman, he would get a huge payday. So I think he's probably fine either way.
Wow. No, does he?
Would Rush Limbaugh be your answer?
Yes, Lisa Bay. Yes. Very well done. Rush Limbaugh, who you can imagine it just drove him and lots of conservatives crazy, this character that Stephen Colbert has been playing on TV for the last 10 years. Here's his quote. CBS has just declared war on the heartland of America.
Wow. That's an overstatement.
He doesn't understand that Stephen Colbert was playing a character on the Colbert Report, and that is not what he's going to be doing on late night on CBS. No longer is comedy going to be a covert assault on traditional American values, conservatives. Now it's just going to be wide out in the open. What this hire means is a redefinition of what is funny and a redefinition of what is comedy. Close quote from Rush Limbaugh.
It's not good for New York.
Yeah.
It's not good for America, and it's not good for the entire world. And so, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
And by the way, I go to Rush Limbaugh for what's funny.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because he's a well-known, hilarious comedian. I don't know what his traditional American values are. I mean, it seems like it would be too much of a cheap shot to talk about how many wives he's had or how many drugs he's bought. But seriously, does he not understand that Colbert is just joking? That
he doesn't avoid cheap shots. Why should we?
It's just it's unbelievable that he would do this. Yeah.
But it doesn't surprise you at all, right?
No, because now we're talking about him.
I guess look. I feel like he's doing a character every bit as much as Colbert is doing a character. He right. can't possibly believe the things that he says, right?
I imagine that's true,
too. He's pretending to be outraged. I hope.
Kim Kardashian apparently, although she was on the cover of Vogue magazine, will never be welcome at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. RadarOnline.com is reporting that, quote, White House insiders tell them that President Barack Obama and his wife Michelle want nothing to do with her. And consider her, quote, political poison.
I would agree with that.
Apparently. I would be very surprised if the president actually commented on this, by the way.
Oh, no. This was White House insiders.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So that really can just be Radar Online making it up, as far as we know. Who has any idea? But right. apparently, she offered to support the president during his second run last year, but they decided to go with Katy Perry instead. And by the way,
nice choice.
Yeah, excellent choice. Absolutely.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Hey, for the past month or so, every morning at 9 o'clock on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've been giving you 3-day passes for Coachella, and we just gave away our very last pair to Isela Valderrama from La Mirada. She is on her way to Coachella. Your very last chance to win is going to come at 5 o'clock this afternoon here on K-Rock. I'm very disappointed that the drunk texts and tweets have not happened from you yet, Kevin. When does that start?
Tonight is the first night, the first day of Coachella. So last uh-huh. night was just get here, get settled, and the shirt before the shirt, or however they do it on Jersey
exactly.
Shore.
All right, because we're counting on you. We definitely are looking forward to some EW Ladbat or whatever else your fat thumbs type this weekend.
Here's
okay?
the thing about that, and I just want to make this point clear. I don't do that on purpose.
But you're so good at
I'm
it.
I'm not trying to be funny. So I hope to not, I hope it doesn't happen for my sake.
I'll be very disappointed.
I know.
Hey, let's turn our congratulations, shall we, to our good friend Michael Dwight Cathwood and his beautiful bride, Bianca Kylik, who yesterday welcomed their baby girl into the world. Mike is on the phone, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike. Yeah, that's right. That's
hey,
right.
buddy.
Oh, yeah. What's happening?
What's it like being a dad?
It's pretty sweet. You don't sleep a lot, at least not for right now. And I know uh-huh. it's like the
don't worry about
answer.
It. You will in 3 months. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like it's all worth it. It's all worth it. It seems pretty having a daughter is pretty sweet so far. I know yeah. it's been a full day, so I've got the ability to make a good decision on whether or not it was a good idea to have a kid. But
I find it extremely funny that a guy like you, Psycho Mike Catherwood, uh-huh. would have a daughter.
I know.
Because you're going to spend your entire life teaching your daughter to stay away from a guy like you.
Well, everybody says that, Kevin, and you have daughters, so you definitely are a good guy to take advice from. But I figure, why
the
fight
things,
it?
The
I'm going to go the
will...
opposite route. I'm going to teach my daughter to be the best way she could be for a guy like me, and I'm just going to bury her self-esteem. I'm going to make sure she's ripped Like, no body fat. Low self-esteem, low body fat, high boob content. I'm gonna destroy her gag reflex.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Mike, it's your daughter.
I'd what? Like to just suggest that perhaps you need a little more time to work through on that theory.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean,
just reconsider it for a minute. Okay. It's going to be really funny. The words that you hear coming out of your mouth are gonna surprise you to no end the entire time.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I already had like a moment of clarity when my wife was pregnant, you know, when I realized I was going to have a daughter. I had to rethink everything about women. And I also had that weird moment where I was like, oh, my gosh. Sometime very soon in the long scheme of things, men and probably women, too, are going to try to have sex with her.
Yeah.
And that drives me pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, take us back, because we talked to you a few days ago about our concerns about having the baby at home. Obviously, it sounds like everything went great. What was that like?
It was pretty intense. And look, I know, again, it sounds very cliche, very Hallmark to say, you know, it rearranged the way I learn how to love and look at everything. And it certainly does. But the craziest thing for me and the most kind of transformative experience I had was it changed the way I look at my wife. Like, I have such a new level of love and respect for Bianca because it was this, you know, day and a half experience of her battling and conquering these intense pains in our living room and in our bedroom with no drugs or no medical aids. So she was just really having this battle, this long battle with all the experiences that come along with birth. And I know I couldn't do that. I mean, I couldn't handle a tenth of it.
Could I just interrupt for a second?
Sure.
She made the decision not to have the drugs.
Oh, I know.
So, there's that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I went to Dr. Drew's office and pocketed some morphine without telling him, just in case. Just
for
in
yourself?
Case she changed her mind, yeah.
For yourself or her?
No, I pocketed some cyanide for myself, so in case so that when my daughter decides to be a stripper, I can just go.
When the baby started coming out of the hoo-ha, was it scary for you, or is it just exhilarating, or both, or what?
No, it was kind of scary because, you know, the head came out of my wife.
Yeah, we know how it works.
I know, but it's not like some alien thing with, like, goo covering. It kind of looks like a head. It was a baby with its eyes wide open staring at me, and I go, like that, and which is probably not the best sound to make, you know, for your wife.
Wait, was that a frightened sound, or you were trying to entertain the baby?
No. I was. I actually had like a visceral reaction. I thought I was prepared, and I was not. I went, oh my God! Like a scared little bitch. And then she rotates her head without leaving the vagina. The body's still in the vagina. Head rotates towards me, and then like opens her eyes even more, and then I shriek like a total bitch, and it freaks my wife out even more. So I'm now totally doing the wrong thing.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if she projectile vomited right at you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hell
that
yeah.
Would have been the best, right?
Yeah.
Now, Mike, I asked Dave, by the way, to save the tape of us announcing the birth on the radio yesterday and announcing the name to the Kevin and Bean listeners, because I think that's going to be something that you're going to be happy to have in your family for your daughter to listen to down the road and for you guys to kind of remember that day.
Yeah.
But we were all surprised by the name you chose, partly because, and by the way, it's a very beautiful name. I think we all liked it very much. I've never heard of another human being with the name Magnolia before. Tell us how you arrived at that.
It pretty organically. It was we were going through a bunch of names, you know, boy and girl, and then we found out that it was girl. We had like a little list, and that is one of my top five favorite movies of all time, the movie Magnolia.
Oh.
Not Steel Magnolias,
gotcha.
But Magnolia.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The Paul Thomas Anderson movie. And we were just watching it, and we threw that on the list kind of as a maybe, as a safety name. And the more we talked about it, the more we thought about it, you know, like you said, there isn't really anybody named that, but it's also not that exotic or weird. So it kind of hit, it was a double-edged sword, and we just fell in love with it and decided to go with it.
It's an awesome, awesome first name. Now, will you call her Maggie?
Yeah. My wife mostly calls her Noli, for short for Magnolia.
Noli.
Okay, that makes sense, too.
I call her Maggie. She calls her Noli, and
Well, good. Let's confuse the kid right out of the chute.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Mike. I thought you just said Noli.
Oh, we did.
Okay.
Right. Tell us about the middle name. Now, you told us that your wife is a goddamn hippie. Where did Moon come from?
That's exactly where it came from. From goddamn hippie land.
Okay. All right. So Magnolia Moon Catherwood. That is your little girl's name.
Yeah.
April 10th, 2014. How much did she weigh?
April 9th. 11:52 a.m. Excuse me, 11:52 p.m. April 9th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we found out about the next morning, I guess. Okay. Yeah, and how much did she weigh?
7.4 ounces.
And the wife's doing great?
The wife is doing great. I mean, as
7.4 ounces and is an especially small child.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't believe it. She was
you
the
mean
size,
7 pounds, 4 ounces?
She was the size of a marble. Yeah, no, yeah, 7 pounds, 4 ounces.
Okay, good. Because that's really small.
Yeah.
7.4 ounces.
I may be running on low sleep.
You are. Mike is tired.
7 pounds, 4 ounces, yeah. And,
okay, that's better.
And my wife is doing great, man. She's doing exceptional. I just can't believe how much she's been able to handle. And she is just, totally connected to the baby. And I get to see her boobs a lot more, which is sweet.
Sure. Yeah. And on that topic, what are you doing for sex with her down for the count right now?
I'm examining all my options.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of beautiful girls in the neighborhood. And,
okay.
Listen, I might change teams. You know,
whatever it takes.
Yeah, you've been wanting to change teams for a long time.
Why not
exactly.
Broaden the menu? No, for sex, actually, I got to be very, very honest with you guys. I was advised to save up my chi in every way because my wife physically can't do the sex.
Right.
So I was advised to not have self-pleasure, too, which is which is pretty much my 9/11.
Yeah, it's
this is the worst day of your life.
Yeah, but I'm just so happy because when that time does come, imagine how awesome it's going to be.
Okay, for I who? Think we've heard too much.
Listen,
not
I'm
for
just
her.
Saying there might be a tsunami warning.
All right. Thank you, Gene Simmons. We appreciate the update. All right. Well, listen, congratulations, Mike. We were so happy to hear it all went well. We're so happy for you and Bianca and for Little Magnolia. Congratulations. Seriously, it's awesome news. Dude.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate all the support and all the love. And I don't want to talk about the fact that I'm looking at placenta in my refrigerator right now.
Nope. Gotta go.
No.
Okay, I can send you guys some over.
Nope.
Cupcakes, smoothies.
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series: How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, Chapter 31: Bowels and Bladders. Going to the bathroom can be half the adventure while attending Coachella. Okay, three-quarters of the adventure. Maybe 91% of the adventure. Lines at the porta-potties can be quite long. In fact, last year, the end of one porta-potty line was actually discovered to be in the small seaside town of Pensauken, New Jersey. So, get in line early. Actually, get in line before you have to go. Get in line now, or glue your poopy hole shut. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
Yeah, that's good advice.
I've been looking for that glue. I can't find it. I got to be honest.
Hey, speaking of Coachella, Kevin is live right now at the K-Rock Party House at Coachella. He'll be there again on Monday, God willing. And the station will be broadcasting. We will be broadcasting all weekend long with lots of guests and musical performances and the whole deal. So get all the details at K-Rock.com. And if you're going out to Coachella, be sure to check K-Rock.com before you go for a complete schedule, too, so you can plan ahead where you want to be and who you want to see at what time. It's all up there for you at K-Rock.com.
One last look at the showbiz beat. Charlie Sheen has a new TV show. We told you about it earlier this morning. The Wee Cable Channel has ordered a pilot for a relationship show called Charlie Sheen's Bad Influence. And basically, he's going to put various engaged couples to the test.
Oh, what is the test? Like, how is he testing them?
He's going to bring a stripper to the guy. I don't know. They don't give any more information. It's just insane. He says it's going to be putting them to the ultimate test by challenging, quote, how well they think they know they're intended.
I know that Charlie Sheen already has another show that's on some cable channel right now, but doesn't it seem like there's, like, no one is talking about it? And it's not like when he was back on 2.5 Men, obviously. That was a huge, network smash. But, who's clamoring for more Charlie Sheen on my TV, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, that anger management. I don't know anyone who watches it.
I don't either.
I've not seen one.
Yeah,
one episode. But this is the Wee Cable Channel, so I don't know how big that is.
It is weird.
Yeah. That's not me. Here's the greatest story of the whole day, I think. We reported at the time that this dentist bought John Lennon's tooth. Remember that story? He paid $33,000 for a tooth. It was auctioned off by a housekeeper that John Lennon had had. Now he's giving more details about what he plans to do with the tooth. Because we talked about it at the time. But Kevin, your theory was, you can pay $33,000 for a tooth, but then you spend the rest of your life saying to your friends, no, seriously, it's John Lennon's tooth.
I'm telling you, do you want to see the receipt?
What's he planning to do with the tooth? Well, according to this report, he plans to...
clone him.
Yes, he plans to create a baby version of John Lennon and raise him as his own child.
I love it when crazy people have a lot of money.
As for the legal implications of owning a cloned individual, the man, again, dentist Michael Zuck, is confident he can navigate them by forum shopping for a country where regulations are loose. Now, his plan is that he's going to create a baby beetle, and then he's going to sign him up for guitar lessons and see if he can make him become a famous musician just like John Lennon was. He's trying to test the nature versus nurture debate and see if it's in the genes or if it's in the environment. So his plan is to give him music lessons, hopefully keep him away from drugs and cigarettes and alcohol, and see what he gets.
He is dumb.
Yeah.
I love him. I love him. He believes that the exclusive control of John Lennon's DNA is worth millions of dollars and that he will own a baby beetle. So good luck to you, sir.
Good luck with that. As you know, we've been giving away tickets to the MTV Movie Awards. They are this weekend. Conan O'Brien will be hosting. Eminem and Rihanna are going to be singing. Channing Tatum will be getting the Trailblazer Award. He's going to be appearing with Jonah Hill as well, I'm sure, for... Jump Street 22 or whatever that's called.
Right.
But here's the news that really blew me away. The festivities begin at 9 Eastern, and there is a special, quote, fashion police. Somebody's going to be out on the red carpet before the MTV Movie Awards, and they're going to be asking them who they're wearing.
Wow.
And guess who that someone is going to be?
Don't say Joan Rivers.
Joan mother effing Rivers.
How dare you? How dare you say that? How stupid can somebody say that? Son of a bitch.
Wow.
Joan Rivers, A, is still alive,
mm-hmm.
and B, is still doing TV.
Yeah, still doing that fashion BS, too. I guess
she's going to be on
popular.
The E Network. Or as Dave says, E!
Thank you, Dave. Hey, all week long, we've been giving away tickets to the 2014 MTV Movie Awards. We also, so we're done with those. We gave the last one of those away earlier this morning. We do have one pair of passes left if you'd like to go to the 27th annual WonderCon. Now, that's from the people who brought you Comic-Con. It's coming up the weekend after next at the Anaheim Convention Center, April 18th through the 20th. Ralph Garman will be there on a Batman panel. If you are a WonderCon fan, if this sounds like fun, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You can win your way into WonderCon from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. And finally,
finally, Alessandra Ambrosio, it's her birthday, and she's
going
there?
Is she there yet? Do you see her yet? Is she there yet?
She is going to be at Coachella, and I would like people to locate her for me and let me know exactly where she is.
Hey, that's a great idea. You know how we're spending all that time with the pings trying to find the Indonesian flight in the Indian Ocean?
Right.
I bet you could do that. If the listeners helped you out on Twitter, I bet you could do that. You could triangulate where she is. If everybody who sees her tweets you and tells you where they are, you can kind of narrow down the area and you can find her.
Are we going to get a restraining order for this very conversation?
I think that's a fantastic... Well, don't you guys have a date every year at Coachella?
We do. I mean, we don't like to talk about it because we're pretty private people.
Sure.
Plus, I'm married.
I think that's awesome. I hope you do find it. Alessandra is 33 years old today, by the way. Also celebrating a birthday is singer Joss Stone, who turns 27 years old today. Actor Peter Reigart from the TV show Dads is 67. Of course, he was the legendary Boone on Animal House. Dylan Keefe from Marcy Playground celebrates his 44th birthday today. And here's one. You may not remember her. She was a white girl, but boy, could she sing. 48 years old today, Lisa Stansfield had this big hit back in the day.
Been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know why he's gone away, and I don't know where he can be. My baby.
Love
love that song and loved it when it was then sampled and turned into a whole nother song from Puff Daddy, remember?
Pop champagne like I won a championship. Come on. Been around the world and I, yeah. We been player, hate it. I don't know what, I don't know why. Why they want us faded, I don't know why they hate us.
This is, that remake is the worst thing I've ever heard. That clip that you just played is the worst thing I've ever heard.
That was a huge hit, remember? You remember when that
Not
was on the radio
me.
All the time. Diddy was not a great singer.
Come on.
Was not a great singer.
That's
anyway,
just trash.
Happy birthday, Lisa. That's the Kevin Bean Showbiz Beat for a Friday.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We're at Coachella this weekend. You can see Coachella all weekend long on K-Rock. And if you see me passed out, please give me something to drink. That's not alcohol.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Or that is.
Pass it over to me.
Ticketmaster!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wow. Yeah.
Roll another one.
You figure it out.
Just like the other one.
You dark-sided, Kevin.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Okay, you're getting off topic.
And I need another hit.
I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab.
Right.
Roll another one.
Raise your hand if you have a vagina.
Just like the other one.
Are you kidding me?
This one seems to be about to end.
This should not happen in America.
I don't have another cent.
DJ 90210 is in the house, baby.
Not so much.
Just pass it around.
Psycho Mike, you give me a boner.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! Pass it on
down. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized. I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever.